Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 22nd of October, and I am recording at exactly 10 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, well, this was a really exciting day. More on that in a moment. It did not start in the Asia-Pacific region, but I'll just have a quick glance at that. The Nikkei, which had been pretty strong earlier in the week, gave up 2/3 of a percentage point in here today to some profit-taking. And Hong Kong, China, A-shares, which had been choppy in a little bit of a range, up on Tuesday, down on Wednesday, retracing that move, but picked up a little bit in here today. Up 1.5%, although the Shenzhen Composite, always more volatile, was up 3.7%. The Hang Seng indices, that's the HSI and the H shares, were a little lower. Again, that was pretty much it, although South Korea maybe down by close to 1%, and everything else tiny, tiny moves. So quiet, just like we saw on Tuesday and Wednesday. But in undervalued Europe, we had Mario Draghi's press conference, which people had been looking forward to. And what a showman, what a masterful performer, because very clear, very articulate, and while I didn't feel that anything that he said was unexpected here. Remember, Mario Draghi's the man who said some months ago, we'll do whatever it takes, or I'll do whatever it takes. And actually, that might have been almost 9 months ago, because it was exactly 9 months ago today that he won that historic battle in that big, I think, EU Commission debate over whether he could introduce quantitative easing. The Bundesbank, as you'll recall, was very adamantly opposed to that. But Draghi won, and a good thing, too. And in today's comments, though, he talked about the flexibility of his policies and the fact that they could provide more stimulus if necessary. There was no rush. He didn't create any nervousness or sense of panic or anxiety among people in the room and watching in markets all around the world. Because he talked about they would have a meeting in December and assess the situation overall. And he also pointed out that a factor that was impeding their growth was the softness of emerging markets. So in other words, you know, Europe's problems weren't just about Europe. And he also talked about not wanting deflation to set in, and he's got a 2% inflation target. I think that might actually be his only target that the ECB actually has. And he pointed out that oil's weakness was the biggest single factor that had pushed that inflation down to the break-even level, or minus level, almost a bit of deflation in there. But just to summarize on that, and you can read about all that. I posted a couple of articles on it. It was a masterful performance by Draghi. Now, as I said before, his comments were not unexpected, but markets just took off. They were just looking for another excuse after two very quiet days, just to run these stock markets to the upside here once again. And they did it very powerfully, as you'll see. Heading the list, and it's been doing that all week, Germany up nearly 2.5%, CAC 40 up 2.25%, Euro stocks 50 up nearly 2.5%. This was a big day, really right across the boards. UK market, this much smaller gain, up 0.44 or 0.4%. And that's largely because a lot of those commodity shares are still lagging in here. But I'd say a very strong day, breaking up out of the little ranges. A lot of these European indices had been just near the higher side of little ranges, although well below their highs of the year to date. So this was, excuse me, this was a big upward dynamic, reigniting the rally. And then Wall Street, bravura performance here overall. We've got, just give you these numbers, the Dow Jones, that's up 1.87%, the S&P 500 up 1.66%. The Nasdaq Composite up 1.65%. Now, usually on upside days, we get the Nasdaq leading, but I think a key point in here, and I should mention that those three indices, and also particularly the Nasdaq 100 index, have all broken above their 200-day moving averages, which are turning upwards once again. And so they're within reaching distance now of the year's highs to date. They need to get there because as I look at the performance screen on the year so far, well, the Nasdaq 100 and the Nasdaq Composite are both in profit. The Nasdaq 100 must be up at least 5%, and the Nasdaq Composite is up 3.89%. But the Dow's down a little bit, 1.87%. So another couple of good days and it'd be up. And the S&P almost breaking even, down a third of a percentage point on the year to date. But it's been a big, persistent rally, as you know, of nearly 4 weeks duration. And this is too good to look like just a sort of a technical rally in a bear market. Those can be quite sharp, but they tend to last, 2, 3 days, a week if you're lucky. And this is clearly far more here overall. And no wonder because we had that 14% setback, I believe, by the S&P 500. That was the long overdue 10% plus correction. It had taken 4 years for that to actually occur. So we're getting we've that's out of the way. And then we had that panicky sell-off. I was on holiday at the time, saved my blood pressure a little bit, although I knew what was going on. But I'm talking about the 24th of August when we just had a meltdown on Wall Street. Okay, so firm action here, and as we work our way through October, and in terms of, I should talk for a moment about sectors or shares that people are buying, because following a big market setback, or certainly a correction, following that, investors are understandably more conservative. So they're not going in and buying the most expensive things around that had been leading the way up previously. That's biotechnology. Biotechnology was the fantastic star performer over the last 4 years or more, and that's really underperforming now since this correction has been underway. It has been underperforming. Just had a tiny gain in here today. So it's nowhere near its 200-day moving average, which is still trending lower here right now. Now, I'm very much of the school that says the biotechnology sector is really in its important development and revenue generating phase here, at least certainly for the leading companies. But people aren't going to go in and buy something that's trading on a high multiple, very high multiple, and has already seen a huge move to the upside following a correction. They're going to go in and, for the most part, they're going to buy autonomies, and they're going to look for things that have really good dividends. GM, which I posted yesterday, or Ford, for instance, General Electric, which Owen wrote about yesterday, and which I hold in my trading account. And they'll go for just top of the line, excellent reputation, international companies. Most of them will have high dividends, attractive dividends, I should say. They're not going to have sky high dividends. You've got to go to the oil shares and other commodity shares for those, for the most part. And there are some exceptions. They'll also go for Google. Well, you don't get a more outstanding share unless you're talking about its rival in some respects, Facebook. And neither of those pay dividends to date, but certainly they are global leaders, game changers in a very, very big way. They'll also go for Amazon, which is in that same category. So really big, influential shares that are well, autonomies, the leading autonomies. And there's some good attractive bargains around among the yielders. Okay, what else is going on in here today? Gosh, I didn't take any notes on this. Let me just bring this up. Looking at the bond yield and the US 10-year. It's amazing. This has stayed so low here. Not quite sure what to make of this, except bond investors are saying, well, there are too many people calling wolf, as in the fable, and our yields aren't going up, and the US 10-year is at 2.026. I've said it before, I think it's in a very long, lengthy period of Type 3 ranging time and size base formation development from the chart seminar. And a 35-year bull market, this is, I think we're talking about a bubble, 35-year bull market in terms of falling government bond yields. Again, I can see why people are staying in that sector. They haven't lost any money, and they've seen an awful lot of volatility, big swings in stock markets. But I'd much rather have the autonomies that I've just been talking about. And VIX, that's got to be down in here today. And just bringing that up, and it not all that much, but it's it. Well, it is. It's down over two, and it's down 2.25 points. 14.45 on the VIX. And elsewhere, I can see that commodities mixed in here today. Crude oil finally broke the decline. I think we had 4 days to the downside. It was up a little bit, very little though, just 38 cents for the Brent. That takes it up to 48.23. And the WTI was up 29 cents to 45.49. Now, I think oil needs to push higher if we're going to see some of that inflation start to pick up. Not a really serious inflation, but moving out of the deflation fears territory, which is keeping people in bond markets, keeping people nervous. nervous generally. Now, another big story in here today, the U.S. dollar, big upward dynamic. Remember, that had gone down and not maintained to break the dollar index, had not maintained a break below 94. Fell below 94, and then the day after, it pushed back up above it. Well, it was up a lot today. Excuse me. 1.334, taking it up to 96.366. So a very big upward dynamic, reaffirming demand at the lower side of what is a lengthy consolidation range here. But you know, Owens, in my view, we think the dollar is in, it's just completed the first upward leg in a secular bull market, and then it'll get a very lengthy consolidation. That's certainly what the Fed wants to see. Also, the euro had been a little bit too strong, and Mario Draghi's, in terms of what Mario Draghi wants, and the euro against the U.S. dollar, kind of, it's run into a wall again near that 115 level. It did that earlier in the week, and it was down sharply here today, back to 1.1107. Now, I don't think the euro is going to fall out of bed here, but over the long term, we will see the dollar moving higher against the euro. But the euro is, you know, it's a reserve currency. It's not going to collapse. Well, not yet. I just said that. So we start to get a breakup of the euro, but I'm not going to speculate on that. That could actually strengthen the euro if you had Germany, which Germany would stay in, and if that had a number of sort of northern European countries in there with it. Now, looking at the commodity markets in here, in addition to oil, I see that sugars had a good day today. Coffee a little bit easier. So it's mixed. Lumber a little bit easier in here today. Precious metals mixed. We've got palladium 965 higher at 686, but I think these are in a corrective phase, and you've got that strong dollar, and they had I think that's certainly a headwind for precious metals in the short term. They give up a little bit more of these gains that we've seen recently, then they would look somewhat more attractive, in my opinion. And I don't want to run over too much. I think that's pretty much it. I think we've hit on all the highlights in here today. So, all the very best to all of you.